To the first day of our two-day seminar on mercy. And this is based on the prayers of Lord Brahma from Canto 3, Chapter 9. And you have a chart that will help you follow along with what I'm talking about here. And you'll see before the verses there will be a definition of mercy taken from 10th Canto, Chapter 88, actually from Krishna book and not from the translation. Srila Prabhupada analyzes mercy, and I'll give you the introduction. Why did Srila Prabhupada analyze mercy in these verses? And then you'll have a few verses that we'll sing together, special verses from this canto and the prayers of Lord Brahma. Because all of us are mercy cases, without the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we would not be here. So we definitely need the mercy. Long, long ago, King Yudhisthira inquired from Lord Krishna, how is it that devotees of Lord Shiva are so opulent and the devotees of Lord Vishnu and Lord Krishna are poor, mostly? And Krishna answered, if I especially favor someone and wish to care for him, the first thing I do is take away his riches. And I guess that happened to us in the early days when we were all hippies, and somehow our riches, whatever we had, were taken away. And then the devotee becomes poverty-stricken, the family members don't take interest in him, and in most cases they give up their connection. That happened to a lot of us before we became devotees. And so the devotee then becomes unhappy. But Srila Prabhupada explains that when a devotee falls into a miserable condition like this, it's not due to his karma. It is the poverty of devotees, a creation of the Lord. And when a devotee becomes materially opulent, it's not due to his pious activities. It's also given by the Lord to use in his service. So this is, Prabhupada said, this arrangement, if you become opulent or if you become destitute, is especially made by Krishna just to make him completely dependent on him and free him from all material obligations. So that I have experienced in my life that I was mostly poverty stricken my whole life in Krishna consciousness. And then after that, Krishna took away my husband, then he took away my son. Like Devahuti, her husband left and took sannyas. My husband left also, but not to take sannyas. And then my son left, and also not to take sannyas. But anyway, that's the material world. And Krishna takes away. But then the next verse, Krishna, actually Srila Prabhupada quotes it, my devotee is not deterred by any adverse conditions because I give myself to him. So he said, this is one example, one Muslim devotee of Indradyumna Maharaj. He was worshipping Allah, and he was very, very rich. And then he met the devotees, came to Vrindavan, prayed to Radharani, remove all obstacles, my devotional service, went back to his country, lost his business. But then he started out a smaller business. And so Maharaj, Indradyumna Maharaj, asked him, so what are you doing in your spare time? He said, so now I'm chanting 32 rounds a day, and I'm very happy. He said, because when I was, before I was worshipping the Lord, and I got so many material things, then I worshipped Krishna, and he took away all those things, but he gave me his lotus feet. So this is what happens. So, but mercy is a very interesting thing. And we will, in a few minutes, we will discuss it. In relationship to this question by Maharaj Yudhisthira, you have on your chart a few words in Sanskrit, and Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the mercy of the Lord. This is how it's described, this is how it's analyzed. Srila Prabhupada analyzes it according to these Sanskrit words, which this verse comes after Krishna says, I take away everything. And I give my special mercy. So anyway, let's go to this now. We can look in your chart. What is Krishna's mercy? The first word that describes it is Brahma. So if you want to know if you have the mercy, here are some symptoms that you have the mercy. And later on, we'll go into a great analysis of mercy tomorrow, actually. And we will understand what is more analytically, we can understand more symptoms of how we have the mercy. So the first thing is, the first word is Brahma. And that means that its greatness can only be compared to Brahman, unlimitedly great, unlimitedly expanding. So sometimes we get the mercy and it just stops there. But actually mercy is expanding, just like everything in the spiritual world is expanding. So spiritual mercy is expanding. It's not like we get it one day and then the next day we don't get it. It's always expanding. And then Paramam. Paramam, supreme. Just like we have Brahma and we have Param Brahma. So we have more copies if somebody wants. I think we have two new people there. You can give them copies. Sukshmam, very fine. Sukshmam means the love between the devotee and the Lord. It's very, very fine. Very fine. Chinmatram, spiritual. Sat, eternal. Anantakam, unlimited. So we should expect the mercy of the Lord. It is very, very wonderful. And in order to get us in the mood, first I would like to ask you to tell me in one word, we've heard many one word explanations of mercy. When you think of mercy, what one word comes to your mind? Or does any word come to your mind? Yes?
Kindness.
Kindness, okay. Kindness, all right. Any other, yeah? Prabhupada, yeah. Okay, you also. Prabhupada's mercy. Yeah, what was Prabhupada? Okay, let's discuss this. I like this one. What was Prabhupada's mercy? Yes.
He got into Jola Tuto,
yeah, okay, yes. Yes. Isn't that amazing? People don't like to be interrupted, do they, in their material plans and paths? We got interrupted by Srila Prabhupada in our material. I think a lot of us didn't have plans, but it was good he interrupted us. And he gave us a plan and he gave us a purpose to live. Yes, Krishna's plan. Any other mercies of Srila Prabhupada? Yeah. Bhakti Lata Beach, he gave us the seed, yeah? He gave us that. Wow, so Prabhupada, and Prabhupada's mercy, if you compare with these things, it was unlimited, eternal, spiritual, very fine, no comparison, and very expanding. So that was the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. I would like to share with you a little bit about mercy. There was a Vyasa Puja written by His Holiness Hiranjan Swami. And he is praying for the mercy of Krishna. And he says, when I stand before you today, I feel prone to lament. I need your mercy so much, but what have I done to qualify myself for your mercy? What have I done? He says, one thing I'm sure of, it's not enough. So he says, I'm desperately in need of it, but I just have no right to even ask for the mercy. Why should the Lord listen to me? Who am I? I haven't captured him in the core of my heart, and I haven't served him. I don't call to him like a child crying for his mother. I don't remember him, and happiness and distress, I haven't surrendered. I mean, it's hard to believe, coming from Maharaj, that when we look at him, we see that he is all of these things. But sometimes we feel like that, you know, what is my qualification to receive the mercy? So that brings us to another word that describes the kind of mercy that we have gotten from Srila Prabhupada. And that word is causeless. Causeless mercy. Because we didn't do anything to deserve it. But still we got it. So this is Prabhupada's mercy. Prahlad Maharaj said, I got your mercy, more mercy than Lakshmi, more mercy than Brahma, more mercy than Shiva. Because you put your hand on my head and you didn't give that to anyone else. So Srila Prabhupada explained that devotional service is so great when it's offered by persons who are born in even low families, the Lord takes it as more valuable than the service of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, or the demigods. Isn't that wonderful? That he takes our service as more valuable than even Lakshmi. So that's the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that he has given us this causeless mercy. What did we do? We didn't think of Krishna. We didn't do any austerities. We were doing the opposite, actually. But Prabhupada gave it to us. So it is our good fortune that we have this mercy. Now we'll go to the prayers of Brahma. Brahma is seeing the Lord face to face. He's praying for mercy because he wants to create. Now that's a really big service. I mean, we think our service is difficult. Just try to create the universe. This is Brahma's service, and he's very depressed because he woke up in the morning, he can't remember a thing how he used to do it the day before. His mind is blank, and here's the creator of the universe. And so what does he do? He does tapasya, and then he offers prayers. And we'll find out later on that this is the mercy. This is the mercy of the Lord. So he's praying for empowerment. So let us see what his first prayer is. He does get the darshan of the Lord. He is seeing the Lord at this point. And you don't have this one, but I'll tell you what Brahma says. Oh my Lord, after many, many years of penance, I have come to know you. How unfortunate the embodied living entities are. They cannot know your personality. So what is the first thing he's thinking about when he has to create? He's thinking about us. He's thinking, I can see you. I'm happy, no problem for me. But what about all these poor, suffering creatures like us? Thinking about us. So that's his first thought. And this is it's very interesting that his prayers are going to be like waking up the Lord in the morning. We'll follow some of these prayers and how he will pray, please, Lord, open your eyes. And I heard that this is what the pujaris now say when they wake up the deities, one of these prayers of Lord Brahma. Oh, Lord, you know, please open your eyes. And this will be the Lord's, Lord Brahma's Mangalarti also. This whole section is his waking up the Lord, offering him prayers. It's like a kind of a worship Mangalarti to the Lord that he does every morning when he wakes up to create the universe. His service is quite amazing, quite amazing. So the first thing is he's grateful for his good fortune. So this gratefulness is very, very important when we wake up in the morning. If we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Prabhupada, for giving me this opportunity to remember you and serve you. So Srila Prabhupada said that in a purport, an interesting thing, one can know the Lord by the causeless mercy of the Lord, which is bestowed upon the Lord's pure devotees, like Brahma and those in his disciplic succession. So we also have this coming down from Brahma. What is our qualification to receive this mercy? So I guess I'll tell you, I won't ask you. Is that we are surrendered, we are following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. And that is our qualification. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, your mercy is all that I'm made of. And we can, the more time we spend in Krishna consciousness, the more we realize this fact, that we are made of Prabhupada's mercy. And that's why we are still living. So somehow or other, we came into contact with Prabhupada. And he touched us in different ways, so we got the mercy. So now in his second prayer, he's describing the form. He said, your form of Garbhadakshay Vishnu is coming just to show mercy to the devotees. And it's the origin of many other incarnations, and it is my source. And then in the third verse, you have this here. He describes some characteristics of the Lord, which Prabhupada, again, in a lecture, analyzes. Natta param, nothing is beyond you. Anandamatram, reservoir of pleasure. Vishashisham, creator of the universe. Vishamatman, soul of everything. Ta upashitosmi, I surrender to you. So we can taste the reservoir of pleasure. If you went to Rathiatra on Saturday, There was a lot of happiness going around. I saw a picture on Facebook, and I was on top of the car, and I saw this picture. I saw these two lady lifeguards were running. And it wasn't to save someone, they were running to pull the rod. You know, they're in their kind of bikini things, and they were running to pull, I saw them running from the lifeguard station, these two lady lifeguards. And they were so happy and joyful, and they came to pull the rod, you know. And there's a picture on Facebook of them pulling the rod, the happy lifeguards joining the procession. And so this is a reservoir of pleasure. We can experience it, actually, not only for us, but also for everyone who sees Lord Jagannath. So many people were dancing and chanting. So he comes. He came as Lord Jagannath on Jacksonville Beach. Quite amazingly, to bestow his mercy. And these people who have no clue of Krishna consciousness, but they could experience the happiness, they could experience the mercy of the Lord. So, the form of the Lord. Actually, there is a verse in 10th canto, chapter 14, by Brahma. Later on he prays, and he says, "The time may come when all of the scientists might be able to count all the atoms of the earth and the particles of snow or even the molecules of sunshine, but they'll never be able to count the unlimited qualities of the Lord." And in the purport, Sanatana Goswami says that each and every one of us has a special quality that the Lord manifests. He manifests a specific spiritual quality for each and every living entity. So there's one quality of the Lord very, very special for each and every one of us. He has unlimited qualities. And there's unlimited jivas. So therefore, he has one for each of us that attracts us to him. And we appreciate him in a very special way. So my next question would be, what quality of the Lord are you attracted by? When you think of the Lord, which is the quality that you are attracted by? Any special quality?
Mercy.
Yeah. Yes? His flute playing. Okay. Good. Yes?
He's the trickster.
He's the trickster. Okay. Yeah, the trickster. Yes, Jamashtami.
He likes to reciprocate with his devotees.
Yes, he likes to reciprocate with his devotees. Okay. That's the most wonderful, yeah, for me too. Yes?
He's playful.
He is playful. Yeah, his humor, his sense of humor is quite amazing. Yes?
He shares his, you know, he's obviously glorified, but he's always sharing that with his devotees.
Yeah, he's sharing the glorification, yeah. He glorifies the devotees glorify him. That was my last class, Bhagavatam class last time. Yes?
Even though he's equal to all,
right?
But at the same time, he's controlled by his devotees.
He's equal to all, but yeah, that's tomorrow's class. He's equal to all, but he's controlled by his devotees. Right. Right, okay. Yeah, these are wonderful qualities. And this makes us attracted to him and want to serve him and want to be with him and want to go to him and dance and play and be tricky and all these things with him in the spiritual world. So then the next verse is about his form, very auspicious for universes. But then it gives he says, "But those who are destined to be dispatched to the path of hell neglect your personal form because of speculating on material topics." Ooh. So, sometimes we hear about these people. Who are these impersonalists? So, Prabhupada says in the purport, "Persons addicted to the impersonal feature of the Lord, whether in meditation or otherwise, are all pilgrims to hell." Pilgrims. Yes, we don't want to be pilgrims to hell. "Because they waste their time in mundane speculation and false arguments." They're addicted more to false arguments than to reality. I think if you go on Facebook, you might find, you know, because he says, "What's on your mind?" So you hear a lot of mental speculation on Facebook. And so we don't want to get entangled in these false arguments. So verse 5 is very beautiful, and that's why I gave it to you, and we're going to sing it together. And this is about the relationship of the Lord with his devotees. So I'll sing one line, and you can repeat after me. It's 395. Ye tu tutiya charanam bhuja kosha gandham. Ye tu tutiya charanam bhuja kosha gandham. Chi kranti kala vivara shuti vatanitam. Chi kranti kala vivara shuti vatanitam. Pakya gihita charana paraya chatesham. Abhya vihita charana paraya chatesham. Napai shinata hirayam buruhat swapunsam. Napai shinata hirayam buruhat swapunsam. O my Lord, persons who smell the aroma of your lotus feet, carried by the air of Vedic sound to the holes of the ears, accept your devotional service. For them, you are never separated from the lotus of their hearts. So, has anyone experienced smelling through your ears? This is, we are talking about spiritual senses now. In the spiritual world, all your senses are interchangeable. You can smell through your ears. So this verse, it describes spiritual life. And this is Prabhupada's mercy. We can smell through our ears Krishna's lotus feet. Sometimes we hear about seeing the Lord, and we will hear in the next verse, verse 11, about that. And now we're smelling the Lord's lotus feet through our ears. And the ears are wonderful for spiritual life. You can smell, you can see, you can hear everything just with your ears. And this is where the Lord's lotus feet are going to come inside and sit on the lotus of our hearts. So this is a very wonderful verse, and it'll be more specific later on how that happens in verse 11. But this is, again, Prabhupada's mercy. And the purport, Prabhupada says, for the pure devotee of the Lord, there is nothing beyond the lotus feet of the Lord. And the Lord knows such devotees do not wish anything more than that. And he doesn't want to be separated from the lotus hearts of the pure devotees. So Prabhupada had Krishna's lotus feet in his heart, so he could give Krishna to us. That's how, why he was so powerful. Prabhupada was attractive to everyone, and therefore we followed him. So here's the next question. What qualities of Srila Prabhupada attract you to surrender to him, to follow him? What is it that about Srila Prabhupada that keeps you in this Krishna consciousness process? What qualities that Srila Prabhupada had that, yes?
He answered all your questions.
Okay, you were a gyani of sorts. Yes?
His dedication to the mission of his guru.
Dedication to the mission of his guru. Anybody on this side? I thought I was. Yes, Jamash. Unlimited capacity to reciprocate, yes.
Compassion.
Right, so yes.
Completely trustworthy.
Trustworthy, yeah, he didn't cheat us. And his austerities, like we were in India doing lots of austerities, but he outdid us. He was better at everything. He could walk faster. I couldn't figure out on the morning walk, you know, how is he? You know, we're 20-something, he's 70-something, and he's you know, we're tired, and he's going so fast. Yeah, he could do everything better. He could get up earlier. He could sleep less. He could write more. He could travel more. Everything he did. Now we travel, we see, we can't believe what Prabhupada did in his 70s and 80s, how he traveled everywhere. Yeah, anybody else have qualities of Srila Prabhupada? Uh-huh.
Tender-hearted.
I know. He accepted everyone, and he tried to fan that little spark of devotional service. He tried to fan the spark. Okay. We appreciate Srila Prabhupada. So when we talk about Srila Prabhupada, then Krishna is happy. When we talk about Krishna, then Prabhupada is happy. So... we like to please everyone here. And then we'll get the combined mercy of Prabhupada and Krishna. So I'd like to read a little bit more from His Holiness Niranjan Swami. He's talking his Vyasa Puja to Prabhupada. Krishna listens to you. You have everything from Krishna that I don't have. You're the true possessor of Krishna's mercy. You have the power to pour upon me more and more of that mercy. I need to become ever increasingly greedy for your mercy. I know there must be no limits to your mercy, because every day of my life I see so many examples of those who have received your mercy. And he talks about traveling around the world and seeing people come to life when they hear about Srila Prabhupada. So this is happening. I see that also. When you talk, when you have Prabhupada Katha, then everybody is very enlivened. You hear how Prabhupada reciprocated with us. So then he said, therefore all I can do is beg, plead, and cry out for your mercy. I have no other hope, but I remain confident there is every good reason to hope. So we should not give up hope for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And as usual, when I give a class, I give you a little homework, which is not to write, but to change your vision of the world. So tomorrow, I would like you to look for the mercy and see how it's coming to you. It may be from Krishna, it may be from Prabhupada. But definitely look for it and try to understand how is it coming. And you can also beg for it. You may also try to do something to get the mercy tomorrow. But I would like you to remember that, because otherwise you go away and you don't remember. So now your task is to look for mercy tomorrow. And how is it coming in your life? So we've done verse 3. Now verses 6 to 10 talk about the unfortunate people of this world, which include us, before at least. Hopefully we are not like that now. Verse 6, the people of the world are embarrassed by all material anxieties, always afraid. They always try to protect wealth, body, and friends, filled with lamentation and lawful desires, and base their undertakings on the conceptions of my and mine. As long as they don't take shelter of your safe lotus feet, they're full of such anxieties. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport is very positive, and he talks about how a pure devotee thinks. He doesn't think he's the proprietor of his family, his home. He surrenders everything to the Lord, and he doesn't worry. He has no anxiety. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he prayed that all of my family members, I see they are your servants, and my service is to maintain them. But before we go on, I forgot to get into the homework a little bit, which is looking for the mercy. So let us give some ideas to people in case you don't have an idea what to look for. What kind of mercy comes to us every day? What kind of mercy can we expect to receive tomorrow from Lord Krishna and Srila Prabhupada? Huh? Prasada. That's very nice. Yeah, I'm also expecting. my Giriraj is doing madhukari, and I follow him wherever he goes to eat. So we are expecting some that type of mercy tomorrow. Any other things to expect? Yes? Yes?
The sun will rise.
The sun will rise. That's very important in our lives. Because if there were no sun, I mean, if you were living in Sweden or Denmark, you know, in the Scandinavia in the winter, you know, the sun goes down in October and it comes up in February, basically. So that's a really good thing. You live in a good place for that. So now they have the land of the midnight sun. So now it doesn't go down. So try and sleep at night in Scandinavia. Yeah, I was just there. I was there last month. And they have a festival on the 21st of, I believe, of June, and the sun doesn't go down, it's, you know, the midnight sun, land of midnight sun. It's a holiday, it's a government holiday, that when the sun doesn't go down, yes, it doesn't go down. And they have, but the unfortunate thing is that it often rains, and so they can't have fun, you know, that dampens their enjoyment a bit. But anyway, yes, that's a good point. We worship the sun in our Gayatri mantras.
And we expect that mercy. Yes.
Devotee Sangha.
Devotee Sangha. Okay. Okay. Expect that mercy. Association. Mm-hmm. Yes, Rangvaji?
That he's not given
the holy
name, so...
Wow. Wonderful. So in japa time, we can expect that Krishna is there. His name is non-different, and we can expect to have quality time with Krishna tomorrow morning when we chant our japa. Wonderful expectation, yes?
We trust that Krishna continues to give us his mercy.
We trust that Krishna continues to give us his mercy. Yes, good. Yeah, tomorrow's Bhagavatam class, I'll also, somehow it's about mercy too. Yes? Oh, okay, go ahead. Have another.
Well, I trust that Krishna will be in my heart tomorrow as Paramatma.
You trust that he's in your heart as Paramatma.
He's not going to leave.
He's not going to leave you. Yeah, everybody else may leave, but that, he won't leave. Yeah, yeah, even if we don't take care of him in our heart, we don't worship him that much, do we? And still he's there. He's just waiting for us to. That's tomorrow's class too. We'll be a little bit about that. Yes, Jamashtra.
Inspiration and intelligence. Mm.
Yes, inspiration and intelligence. Brahma is going to pray for that too. Okay, Bhadra?
Service.
Okay, you're expecting. All right, yes. These are nice expectations, and I'm sure they will all be fulfilled beyond our expectations. The mercy will come. It's always beyond. What can we expect? You know, we have our small brains, our small expectations. But Krishna is unlimited, as Prabhupada said, unlimited mercy. So tomorrow we can expect unlimited mercy. So look for it and expect it. Yes?
Just like Srila Prabhupada prayed when he was in Boston Harbor that, you know, he was praying to Krishna that you give me, you know,
the power.
The power to speak to them so that they can hear.
Right.
And deliver them. So
right.
Every day that we have an opportunity to speak with someone, you know, we can see Krishna's mercy if somehow or other we can touch their hearts.
Good. If we can touch someone's heart, that's the mercy. Great. So verse 7 is about, again, the poor conditioned souls who don't chant and hear about your activities are unfortunate. And they engage in inauspicious activities, enjoying sense gratification for a very little while. How little while do they enjoy? The verse says, akushalani shashvat. I don't think you have this, but I will tell you. Kama sukalesha lavaya. For a brief moment of happiness. Lesha lavaya. Lava means 8/45 of a second, or about 1/6 of a second. So for this much happiness, people work hard day and night. 1/6 of a second, according to this verse. That's how much happiness. We may say there's no happiness because it's not much, 1/6 of a second. So, but if we use that 1/6 of a second and associate with a Krishna's devotee, then we have, everything is auspicious. So some of you mentioned that yes, there's, one of our God brothers, he was a boxer, and he was in Europe. And he was coming to the temple, and the devotee said, why don't you just stay with us? He said, no, I'm too attached to my boxing. I cannot stay with you. So then what happened? Prabhupada came to the temple, and he saw Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was leaving. Prabhupada got into his car. And somehow the boxer got his nose pressed against the window of Prabhupada's car. A huge crowd came and he was pushed. And Prabhupada looked at him. And the guy came away dazed and he said, okay, I'm joining. They said, well, what about your boxing? He said, after a look like that from Srila Prabhupada, how can I go back to my boxing? So the glance of the pure devotee, very, very powerful. He can change your life. The word, one word in the Dumna Maharaj talks about another person he met chanting japa somewhere in some city, I think America it was, and he was he came to him and he said, oh, your guru changed my life. He said, I was a drunkard, I was wandering the streets looking for a drink, and I went to this hall, it was open, and I saw your guru speaking. And he was telling the four regulative principles, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and chant Hare Krishna, he said. And he spoke to me, and I followed that. And now here I am, and I'm chanting Hare Krishna, and ever since that day, I've been following his instructions. So I'd like to meet him again. Of course, Prabhupada had left by that time. And so he told the man, well, you know, he's left. He's, oh, he was the best friend I had in my life. So, the Prabhupada's mercy. We don't know. It's very unlimited how many seeds were planted in people's hearts who just saw him for a brief moment. There are many stories like that, that people became devotees much later on after seeing him for a fraction of a second. Just a fraction. So, here's something. Verse 8. All these poor creatures are perplexed by hunger, thirst, severe cold, secretion, and bile. Attacked by coughing winter, blasting summer, rains, many other disturbing elements, and overwhelmed by strong sex urges and indefatigable anger. I take pity on them, and I'm very much aggrieved for them. So there might be something on this list that we have experienced in our long or short lives, but Lord Brahma is worried about them. And then verse 9 and 10 is the same thing, that the miseries for the soul, they don't exist. But if you see the body as enjoyment, then you can't get out. And the non-devotees, they work very hard and suffer insomnia at night and frustrated in their plans. So he was very much compassionate. And Prabhupada talked about factories. Another word for factory is hell. Has anybody worked in the factory over here? You have. Was it like that? Was it?
It was boring.
Boring, okay. I think boredom is also hellish. Yeah, my son worked in a factory. He had to, in night shift, I think 12 to 8, 12 midnight. And he had to push tons of paper. First he had the forklift, but then after he had to push them for the last 5 feet. For himself, maybe 2 tons of paper. But it was hellish. And one of our godbrothers, Bajahari, tells his experience. He was telling Prabhupada, you know, I used to work in a factory, steel factory. So you can imagine how that's like hell, all these, this like lava, hot lava flowing, hot steel flowing. And he said, I almost had a nervous breakdown. And Prabhupada said, yes, actually it's because your last life, you were all brahmanas. Otherwise, how could you come so quickly to Krishna consciousness? Actually, my Guru Maharaj has ordered all of you to take birth to help me spread this mission. And now we're all together again. So we can extend that because Prabhupada's mercy is unlimited. I'm sure Srila Prabhupada has ordered all of you second generation to come and help him spread, and third generation too. It goes, keeps going. The mercy doesn't stop with Srila Prabhupada. It keeps on flowing. That all of us have, now we're all together again. Many of us came very quickly to Krishna consciousness, and some of us were born in Krishna consciousness, and so we have mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So verse 11, we have it together as the process of seeing the Lord in the heart. And this is more of an explanation of that other verse we just read, of 5. So I'll sing one line, repeat after me. Tvam bhakti yoga paripavita hrit saroja.
Tvam bhakti yoga paripavita hrit saroja.
Asse shute kshita pato nanunatta pungsam.
Asse shute kshita pato nanunatta pungsam.
Yadyatiya ta urugaya vipavayanti.
Yadyatiya ta urugaya vipavayanti.
Tattava purpanaya se sadanugrahaya.
Tattava purpanaya se sadanugrahaya.
Oh my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing. Thus our hearts become cleansed and you take your seat there. You're so merciful to your devotees. You manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Now here's a very merciful verse So what does it mean? He's in the heart. What does it mean he takes his seat there? Prabhupada says in the purport, he manifests himself in the form the devotee likes to worship him. We all have a form that is especially dear to us. So the devotee, when we worship a certain form of the Lord, then he manifests. He's no longer the four-arm form that the yogis worship. The yogis, they see the four-arm Vishnu form. But the devotees see differently. The devotees of Radha Krishna see Radha Krishna. Devotees of Gornitai see Gornitai. Devotees of Jagannath see Jagannath in their heart. Hanuman, he saw Sitaram in his heart. Because sometimes devotees ask this question, and here's the answer. They ask, well, you know, what form is super soul for the devotees? And this is the answer to that question. So Prabhupada says that the Lord becomes subordinate to the desire of the devotee, so much so he manifests his particular form as the devotee demands. So here the devotee is demanding, I want to see this form of you. And so he comes. And why does he satisfy this demand? Because the devotee has love for him. As he says in Gita, yayatamam papadyante tamsataiva bhajamyaham. As you worship me, I reciprocate with you. But at the same time, he's not the order supplier of the devotee. So this is by devotional service that he does this. So prema comes after we go through the process of Shraddha, Bhajana Kriya, Nishtha, it goes up to prema. So how to get this prema, Prabhupada says, by regulative devotional service of the Lord. We can come to this level of seeing the form of the Lord which we desire. And in the second canto, it is described, the sound incarnation of the Lord comes through the ear, comes into the heart, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and cleanses the dust of material association, just like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water. So then Prabhupada said, a very beautiful purport, it is said a single pure devotee of the Lord can deliver all the fallen souls of the world. So Prabhupada said, one is in the confidence of a pure devotee like Narada, and is empowered by the Guru, can not only deliver himself, but can deliver the whole world. So this is our mission. Prabhupada is empowering all of us to become preachers. And it's very easy, it's not difficult. There is one, again, I'll share you a story of one devotee from Europe. This is Eastern Europe. A devotee was distributing books, Bhagavad Gita, and he sold Bhagavad Gita to somebody. And the person took it home, his roommate was a drunkard. The drunkard opened the Gita, read one line. Everything that is created does not rest on me. Behold my mystic opulence. And he threw the book. Nonsense. This is really bad. But the day came when he drank too much and he had a near-death experience. And he went unconscious. And what should he see? The Yamadutas coming to take him to Yamraj, Lord of Death. He came before Yamraj, and Yamraj said, you are a very sinful man. You must suffer. What are you going to do now? And the man said, behold my mystic opulence. I'm not in everything. And boop, he came back to consciousness again. He said, what was that? Better read this book. Read the whole book cover to cover. Found the address in the back and went and joined and became a brahmachari of the temple. But then, you know, brahmachari life, very austere. After about 6 months, he said, this is really too much. I need a drink. So he left the ashram, went to the bar, was drinking the whole day. Night came, and the bartender was closing the bar. And the bartender said to him, you have to go now, we're closing. And then he said, what are you going to do now? And he thought, oh, he got such a fright. It's the same words as Yamraj. And he ran back to the temple and became a good brahmachari. So how important is this book distribution? That very, even unwillingly, against your own desire, you may become attracted It may save you. Gita saved this man. He became a devotee. So, yes, Prabhupada is empowering us. And my god sister, Radha Kun, she's a big book distributor since 40 years. And she always reads a line from one of the books to the people she's distributing to. And she has made that a habit. So it's nice that the devotee can change people's lives by his glance, his words, his desire, his prasadam. And this is Krishna's mercy. So I'd like to read a few more verses today, and then we will stop the questions. So verse 12, 12 to 14, and we'll stop with 15 today. Different categories of living entities in this world and how Krishna deals with them. And you have this on your chart, so you can follow along. And verse 12 is about the demigods, that you are not satisfied so much with the worship the demigods do. They worship very pompously, but they're full of material hankerings. You're in everyone's heart as super soul just to show your causeless mercy and the eternal well-wisher, but you're unavailable for the non-devotees. So in the Prabhupada talks about two kinds, the sakam, the devotee who has desire, material desires, and the nishkam. And what's the difference, according to the Prabhupada, between sakam and nishkam? Is that the sakam, the devotee who has desires, he's only thinking about his own advancement. And the nishkam is the preacher. And he's thinking about others as well. So this is the basic difference, that the sakam is more he's more centered on himself, and the nishkam is more thinking of others. So therefore, Prabhupada says in the Prabhupada, the pure devotees take the missionary responsibility of turning non-devotees into devotees so they can satisfy the Lord more than the demigods. So Yamraj, he's one of the chief demigods, he came as Vidura just to preach. He was up there, so much management, but he wanted to preach too. He had a very thankless task to punish the sinners. But he came as Vidura to associate with the Pandavas and help the Pandavas in their life. And Yamraj comes to Bhagavatam class, so he's here. Maybe one of you is Yamraj over here, I don't know. He comes to Bhagavatam class. Yeah, we do have a Yamraj, don't we, in this community?
We have two.
Two? Really? Who's really? Oh, they didn't come to class, okay. All right. Yeah, I met another Yamaraj in Moscow the first day at the airport. He was my driver. And he broke all the rules. He really thought he was Yamaraj. You think India is bad. Well, I'll tell you that he was driving on the sidewalk, to avoid the traffic. So I was worried about the poor people, this. Anyway, he was Yamaraj, so I told him, it's okay, I'm not in a hurry to die. And the first thing, he left me in the parking lot, and as soon as he left, all the sirens started going off on my car, I was in Moscow, I didn't know what they were going to do to me. But anyway, it was an interesting experience. Welcome to Russia. I didn't go back after that. That was my first and last time. But, so, yes, even Yamraj wants to help. So I would just like to give an example of Srila Prabhupada and how he was nishkam. He was sitting in a chair, and this is a story of Govindadasi. She was sitting on the ground next to him. He was softly chanting japa, and suddenly she said she saw a large brown slug. Very slimy. I think you must have them. Do you have them here? I saw them in Europe. Or maybe it was D.C. It was Europe. Because I was in the farm somewhere. Sweden. Yes, in Sweden they have slugs. Some brown, slimy things. And she was repulsed, and she leaned away, and Prabhupada looked, and she said, oh, look at that. Look at this. And he leaned, and he looked at it. And she said his face grew full of love and compassion. He said to me, chant to the poor creature. So she said, I sat there chanting Hare Krishna to the slimy yet benedicted slug for some time until he slid it away. Prabhupada had incredible compassion even for the most abominable creature. So she said, I can never forget the sound of your voice when you gave me that instruction, chant to that poor creature. And your whole mission was encapsulated in that. You did not see the ugly slug I saw. You saw the soul covered in suffering, forgetful of Krishna. So there were so many stories about Prabhupada and insects and Toronto. Montreal with Jayapataka Swami. Cockroach. Prabhupada picked it up, took it to the window, and said, "Here, I'm giving you the whole world to enjoy." And he threw it out. Again, benedicted the cockroach. You can enjoy the whole world out the window, but not here. So yeah, Prabhupada, he had such a vision. Even the ants, it was Narayan, who was sitting across the table from him, and Prabhupada asked him, "Do you see that ant?" He didn't see it. Yeah?
There was a story with this mosquito, I think
Harishori.
Maybe Harishori tried to kill it.
I think it was Chudakirti. Yeah. And they were both looking at it, and it came up and flew away. With the ant, he said, "You see it?" And he didn't see it. So he said, yes and no combined, because he didn't want to lie and he didn't want to look like a fool. So then Prabhupada said, "You know what your duty to that ant is?" I mean, he couldn't see it, now he's got a duty to the ant. And so he said, "Your duty is to make that ant Krishna conscious. And then our movement will be a great success." So, I mean, Prabhupada he saw every soul as equal. His equal vision was so unimaginable that we can't even get close to it. We can't understand his equal vision. And so I'll just talk about two more reciprocations. The first 13, the Vedic rituals. The pious activities of the people, like Vedic rituals, charity, penances, service with a view to worship you and satisfy you by offering the fruit of results, are also beneficial. So these are also good. They're magnanimous souls, as Gita says. And 14, let me offer obeisances to the Supreme Transcendence, who is eternally distinguished by his internal potency. I offer my obeisances to him who by his pastimes enjoys creation, maintenance, and dissolution of this world. So if you read Bhagavatam scrutinizingly, you see how Radharani is hidden. And in this verse, Prabhupada talks about this in the purport. There's a word, rasa. And Prabhupada says the word rasa is significant. Rasa dance performed by Krishna, the company of the coward damsel of Vrindavan, and the personality of Godhead Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is also engaged in rasa enjoyment with his external potency by which he creates, maintains, and dissolves. Lord Brahma offers his respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna, who is ever engaged in rasa enjoyment with the gopis. And there's many verses. I just would read, be giving a class somewhere, and Radha will be in Sanskrit somehow, Anaradha, Anuradha, or Radhate. So here's one, rasa. When rasa is there, it also refers to Radharani. So our last verse for the day, and we will sing it again, verse 15. And it's about his incarnations, and especially the incarnation of the holy name. Verse 15. Yasya avatara guna karma vidam banani.
Yasya avatara guna karma vidam banani.
Namani ye suvigame vivasha ginanti.
Namani ye suvigame vivasha ginanti.
Tenaika jamma shamalam sahasai vahitava.
Tenaika jamma shamalam
samyant yaparitamritam tamajam prapadye.
Samyant yaparitamritam tamajam prapadye.
Let me take shelter of the lotus feet of him whose incarnations, qualities, and activities are mysterious imitations of worldly affairs, One who invokes his transcendental names, even unconsciously at the time he quits his life, is certainly washed immediately of the sins of many, many births and attains him without fail. So I just was reading His Holiness Indranil Maharaj's diary, latest diary today, and he was talking about the they were going on Harinam on the beach, and many, many people were very happy to see them, but there was one man who was very demoniac, and he was coming up to them and he was saying, "Stop that, stop that, stop that." And then the security guy got the man on the ground and pinned him down, and then he was saying, Hare Krishna, let me go." And then they wouldn't let him go. Then he said, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, let me go." Maharaj said, "No." He said, Hare Rama, Rama Rama," and then he let him go. Because he wanted him to chant the whole mantra. And then later on in the festival at night, they saw him there. They saw this man, and he was eating a big plate of prasadam. And he was saying, "You know, I had a really hard life, but now I think my life is going to change." And so, because they asked Maharaj, "Why did you keep him down for so long?" He said, "Yeah, I wanted him to chant the full mantra of the holy name, because then he would be very benedicted." So sometimes, I just thought about something. It says, even if you chant unconsciously, I think that describes my japa a lot. We sometimes chant unconsciously. It's kind of like, I don't know what mode you would call it. Automatic mode. I never thought of it that way before, but it just hit me just now. That you think, unconsciously means, time of death. And, you know, maybe in your sleep, like in my sleep, I chant if I get attacked. But now I'm thinking, maybe it's during japa that I chant unconsciously. But this is very helpful here. Even if we chant unconsciously, what did he say here? At the time he quits his life. Oh, okay, well, that's a bit different. He's certainly washed immediately of the sins of many, many births and attains him without fail. Okay, so we shouldn't try to chant unconsciously, but sometimes it happens that we do. But don't worry, it will help, even if you chant unconsciously. Namavas is a Jamila. He went back to Godhead. Of course, he had to come back and get a little purified. And we may also have to if we chant Namavas, but at least we will go back to Godhead very, very soon. So the purport on this verse describes the importance of the incarnations for us, is that if we simply remember the incarnations, it's the same as being with the Lord personally. And that's Arjuna experienced that when Krishna left the planet, and he was completely bewildered because he lost all his power, and he got defeated by some coward men. And he said, "I'm the same Arjuna, the same Gandiva Bhau, same everything, but I'm defeated. I was never defeated before." So that was So then what did he do? Then he remembered the instructions of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. He said, "Now I'm remembering what the Lord told me." Now this is our solace. We remember the instructions, and we can progress. So I would just like to remind you, your homework tomorrow is to look for the mercy in any way, in shape, and form. And now is the time, if you have any questions or comments, you can ask. And we will finish tomorrow the prayers and the Lord's reciprocation with Brahma and his explanation of what is the mercy. It will be in more detail tomorrow. Please do keep your papers and bring them back tomorrow. And if you're not coming, then you can just leave them here. We'll pass them out again tomorrow. So any questions, comments on this? Yes. You have the hope of becoming a pure devotee.
I have no hope.
No hope, okay.
A pure devotee. But should one of my good brother, is more likely to Nishantada, should someone become a pure devotee, I'm told that, generations of ancestors are liberated. Mm. So what if some such person,
okay, great. You got the microphone.
Sorry,
yeah.
So basically, I'm just wondering if somebody should become a pure devotee, which I, as I said, have no hope of doing. But if one becomes a pure devotee and generations of their family is liberated,
right,
what if some of those personalities do not want, desire liberation or not yet, you know, are not desiring liberation? Would they be forcibly liberated? Or?
Yeah, well, okay, so everybody heard the question. The answer, Srila Prabhupada was asked, what type of liberation do your ancestors and descendants get? So the liberation they will get is that they will become devotees. So they're not forced to go out of the world, but they will become devotees and they will get the opportunity to associate with devotees, to be a devotee, and make their own decision. Because right now they don't have that much choice what to do. But they will get the opportunity to be devotees. And that is vimukti. There is mukti, liberation. Vimukti is to engage in devotional service and develop love for Krishna. So that will get the highest liberation. They will become devotees. Okay, somebody over here had their hand up. Jamashtami. Now it's Srila Prabhupada's answer.
You mentioned how Arjuna lost his empowerment.
Right.
Right. So that happens sometimes.
Yes.
And, it's a little difficult to process. I mean, we may be going along a certain stage of our devotional career.
Right.
Everything works. And then we hit a patch. What happened? I can't do anything right.
Yeah.
So
sometimes we lose our empowerment, or it appears that we have lost our empowerment.
Yeah, but that also seems to be the plan of the Lord for our upliftment.
Yeah, it seems to be the plan of the Lord. I would agree with you on that. And what I would also, my understanding, my realization is that sometimes we lose our empowerment to do one service, but then so the door closes, but then the door opens, and he wants us to go another direction. So it's not that we lose completely our empowerment, but the Lord wants us to do some other significant service for him. And so it looks like everything is upside down, but then we come out and we say, oh, wow, now I understand why he took that service away from me. Because now I'm able my husband left me, I went to Vrindavan. So, you know, I lost, you know, I had different services, and then it was the greatest mercy, because then I started preaching and writing books, and my life was, but I had to see that. I had to see that mercy. See it as mercy. When these things happen, you have to see the hand of Krishna. And when Krishna took away all my maintenance, and I said, okay, now it's time to leave Vrindavan and go out and preach. The message was, get out of Vrindavan, stay in Vrindavan, I spend money, I go up, I can preach. And you depend on, much more dependent on the Lord to go out of Vrindavan and preach. And then the Lord reciprocates immensely. As soon as I went out, then I started printing my books and things took off. So yeah, I can. Whenever that happens, and I saw another devotee was in the same position as I was, and that devotee had a different reaction, and they started criticizing the management, the temple, and they left their body after a couple of years. So I mean, I could have gone that way, but it's not the way to go. You can't blame anyone. You can't. It's just you have to take responsibility, and hear the message of Krishna. And often it does come like that, that it seems like people start being against you, or, you know, you get kicked out of a temple or something. But then it's like Vidura, he got kicked out of the palace, and that's when his devotional service took off. He went on pilgrimage, and he preached, and it was quite nice.
So your experience when the disempowerment comes...
Yeah.
Following that will be some inspiration to how Krishna actually wants you to see.
Exactly. Yes. Following, if you lose it in one area, then it means Krishna is opening the door somewhere else. But you have to find out what is his plan.
And your experience also, it seems, is that what else he wants you to do is actually on a higher platform than what you were doing before.
Yeah, it always seems better. Whenever Krishna takes everything away in one place or another, then it's because he wants us to go higher and do more and expand our service. Before it was just very limited, and then he wants more expanded. I was limited in one place, now I'm traveling the world. It's like, okay.
Were you a little bit intimidated by the new direction that Krishna?
Of course. I don't want to, you know, we don't want to change, do we? My feeling was, not only I don't want to change, I don't feel I'm qualified to do these things that Krishna wants me to do, but then, you know, we have to take the risk. We have to take the risk and hope that Krishna will empower you, and we have to pray, oh, please help me, empower me, you know.
So it worked out okay.
Pardon me?
It worked out okay.
It sure did. It's still it's coming. It's not stopping. Still new avenues are opening up, and that I don't feel qualified to take up services, different services, and still I have to pray and cry and all these things for empowerment. And yeah, it doesn't stop. It's not like, okay, one day you're empowered I'm empowered, huh? Good. No. You have to keep on praying for it and trying for it.
But it seems that that attitude of helplessness,
yeah,
almost hopelessness,
yes,
is an important element, mm-hmm, in this empowerment. When he strips you of empowerment,
yeah,
he's got another plan.
When he strips you of empowerment, then you realize that it's not you that was doing it. It was Krishna that was working through you. So now there must be some block in there that you have to open up so then Krishna can continue to work through you in another way.
It's really nothing to lament about when it happens. It's actually a high form of mercy, correct?
Yes, it's mercy, exactly. I mean, one aspect is Krishna takes away your riches. He may take away your service. He may take away the temple where you're attached to. But it's mercy, because then he's opening up. You know, there's the whole world, you know, in front of you. But you need to see how to use it in Krishna's service. It's quite opening, quite broadening of your mentality. You become a Mahatma then. Because Mahatma, he sees the whole world as his family. And everyone's his children and mothers and fathers. And Prabhupada was like that. So we have to... and we have inherited his legacy. We have inherited his mission.
But also Prabhupada went through this... this empowerment of the devotees.
Yeah, yeah.
One effort after another.
Yeah, in India. Yeah.
But it was for something much greater.
Oh, yeah. Going to New York and the Bowery. And so we can see it in the lives, even in the life of Srila Prabhupada, pure devotee, what to speak of us. But we can understand and learn from his example what to do, how to react. And then we have to be an example too. And that will be inspiring for other people. We can't change ISKCON, we can't change the world, but we can change ourselves, and we can be an example of what we would like to see, what kind of devotee we would like to see. Then we can be that example. And then people will be inspired. Just like a few years ago, I gave a lecture in Gainesville to the students. And one girl came up to me and she said, "Thank you for existing." I thought, wow, that's the most wonderful thing anyone ever said to me, you know. Thank you for existing. But it was very deep, you know. It's like, thank you for your example, or thank you for just being here and doing. And so that, I thought that was really nice. And that's what we have to do. We have to show how to be happy as a devotee, how there's happiness in Krishna consciousness, how there's hope, even someone like me can change. As people knew me before, I was pretty, you know, like closed. But somehow I got this Giriraj and now my personality changed. And I was timid and now I'm courageous going everywhere. And I don't know how and why, but yeah, but you do have to follow the indications of Krishna. See the Lord's hand in everything when you feel like you've become disempowered. But don't give up. Never give up hope. That's the thing. Never give up. Because Prabhupada will help you, Krishna will help you, and that's why I never go away. I'm just still there, and no matter what happens, I don't give up hope. And my goal actually is very ambitious. I would like to go back to Godhead before I die. I've had that goal for a long time. But that's kind of stupid, because you go back and then you come back, so what's the use? You know? But better just go straight and stay. You know? But anyway, horrible. Any other questions? Yes, over there. In front. Yes. And then over here. And then we'll stop.
I just want to understand and maybe clarify the idea of Krishna being Hari, something takes away. Because it does sound very daunting for...
Very many, daunting?
Yeah, you know, for many people to hear that.
Okay.
Because at the same time, even though Hari he takes away, he also gives so much. Like we saw Prabhupada, he lost so much.
Right.
He renounced so much, but then Krishna gave everything to use in Krishna's service. So it seems like both, it's all there, you know, because there's devotees who have so much, but yet they don't necessarily consider it theirs.
Right, exactly.
In Krishna's service. So.
Yeah.
That's really the message, right?
Yeah, right. Actually, if you read the translation of Hari and Prabhupada gives in his purport, he takes away the miseries of the devotee. Yeah, Hari means he takes away the devotee's miseries. That's how he translates it. So, that's not daunting.
No, it's not.
It's wonderful.
It's not like you hear it the other way, like he's kind of
taking it away. No. We think it's nice, but it's actually the miseries he's taking. Okay, and the last one, Jatari. Yeah, over here. Yeah, I can give you an example. Prahlad Maharaj's prayer, he says that I want to save these poor fools and rascals who are suffering maya sukaya varam, under the burden of material happiness. And my son and his friend, Sudama, they were in my house in Vrindavan. They were watching this big, huge ant, and the ant had a huge burden on its back, and it was going around in circles. And they were concerned about the ant, and they said, why don't we help this ant? Well, they took away the big piece of food, threw it away, and the ant walked straight, you know. So everyone's going around in circles, carrying the big burdens. And sometimes the mercy comes, and the burden is lifted, and they say, hey, wait, give me that burden. No. So it's the miseries that are taken away. Okay. Yes?
So you were speaking at University of Thorne to just regular students, right?
Yeah, I was in Gainesville Krishna House. Yeah.
At the Krishna House, so people would have some exposure, right?
Yeah, they had some exposure.
So as you're out of the world, sometimes you're around, like for instance, we were at the Jacksonville Beach the other day, and you know, I mean, such a patchwork of different people with different religions, different philosophies.
Right.
And as you go around, have you found any particular way that's successful at, you know, reaching people on any level? You know, I mean, of course, each one is individual. You know, like Srila Prabhupada was praying, you know, please, if you want to deliver them, they can be delivered. So have you found anything in your experience that's, you know, successful or, you know, at least not blowing somebody away and not irritating them so that they hate Krishna or something?
Right. Well, I feel that it's very individual with the person you meet. Like, I met one lady on the airplane. She was, the whole flight, she was blowing bubblegum bubbles. And I thought, oh, this lady's hopeless, you know. And that somehow we started talking. And she really liked the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and turned out she was a Muslim lady from Egypt. And I was like, usually I try to get the window seater out. And this time I was in the middle, and I had an opportunity to change, but something inside told me, don't change. And here I met this Muslim lady who was very interested in the difference between the body and the soul, and you know, and she says, yeah, I'm a Muslim. I gave her Hare Krishna mantra, and she said, yeah, this is really cool. And as I say, it's very individual. You have to see where the person is at and what they're capable of receiving. I can't just... Prabhupada didn't like formulas. Like when the book distributors said, they said, okay, this is the formula, we want to say this to every... Prabhupada said, no, you tap in on super soul in the heart, because it's individual, you can't make it mechanical. So I don't want to give a universal something to say. You have to pray to super soul and just see the person. Like I was like suffering half the flight, but then when she became interested, I was, well, okay, this is really good. Here, opportunity to preach. Different people. On the airplanes, yeah, you can preach sometimes. Okay, so we'll stop there. Please come tomorrow, 7 o'clock. We'll finish the seminar. And Bhagavatam class tomorrow morning is also a little bit about mercy. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.